Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Feast of St. Joseph's Day, and as Joni Lewis will probably mention tomorrow in our Rome segment, that today in Italy is Father's Day. That's how they celebrate Father's Day, very appropriately on the Feast of St. Joseph. So go out there, and even if you're not Italian, I mean, a lot of us who are not Irish like to go out and get soda bread or other delicious Irish food on St. Patrick's Day, so do the same on St. Joseph's Day, which is a very important feast day in the Italian Catholic community. And don't forget to get yourself a loaf of St. Joseph's bread. And by the way, on the website of both Catholic News Agency and I believe the Register, they have some cool recipes for St. Joseph bread. So check that out. Coming up in the program shortly after the news, we have a beautiful discussion that will take place, I'm sure, with Father Mark Mary Ames. He has a new book out called The Father, appropriately that we're talking about this on Father's Day in Italy. And of course, because of St. Joseph, a wonderful earthly father to our Lord. The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God. Now, even though we are getting down to the end of Lent, right? But 30 meditations, you could do more than one a day, and you could cover the rest of Lent and Holy Week, right? So good idea. You can get the book very quickly, of course. It is published by our friends at Ascension Press. And some of the things we're going to be discussing, including the overall theme of the book, have to do with how the actions of the amazing St. Joseph can give us examples of how an earthly father reflects the love of God the Father. And I think sometimes in talking with people, if they've had a rough relationship with their father, that can block a relationship with God, which does make sense if you think about it in a way that if you can't relate to a father figure because of previous pain, that might be something that you need to work through and overcome through spiritual direction. But excited about this discussion with Father Mark, and that's coming up right after the news. And then we are going to actually wrap up with more discussion on St. Joseph. I came across, in doing some research this morning, I came across a really wonderful video from our friend, the wonderful Bishop Barron, Robert Barron, from the Diocese of Winona. And he, of course, has Word on Fire Ministries, and he's always producing great stuff. And it was really cool because he talked about St. Patrick and St. Joseph, being that their feast days are so close together. Now, I don't have time to play the entire video. It's about 10 minutes long. But I chose a portion, the tail end of the video, about 4 minutes long, where he talks about St. Joseph. And what's so beautiful is he really takes a look at the challenges of St. Joseph. Now, he does the same for St. Patrick because of, obviously, Sunday being St. Patrick's Day. But he takes a look at these two saints, and specifically because we're focusing on St. Joseph today, he takes a look at how both saints, and especially St. Joseph, came across situations in their life where it was very different than what they thought their life was going to be. And the challenges, and the public humiliation, and the change, and the circumstances that were really kind of like out there, and makes you do a lot more than just scratch your head and say, Lord, what are you thinking? But how they submitted and trusted. And he also makes a great point about how some of these commentators out there in the news think of believers as, you know, just really stupid people because we are just, you know, throwing caution to the wind. We're not using our common sense. We're not using our intellect. No. Actually, it's extremely smart to put everything in God's hands. That doesn't mean that we walk around with our heads in the sand and don't plan and don't use our mind and our intellect to get through the day and to work and use those talents. But what it does mean is that you are trusting that God has a better plan. That, okay, this is not exactly what you were hoping for, and it looks a lot different than what you thought your life would be at whatever stage. But once you say yes to God, look, ma, no hands, you're going for one heck of a ride, and it's the best ride of your life. And I can say that speaking from personal experience as someone who is very stubborn and tried to fight it, right? And hold on to my own plans versus saying yes to God's plan for my life. So really looking forward to sharing that with you, that wonderful video, of course, the audio version because this is radio, but you can find it on his Word on Fire ministry, and also the interview on a beautiful new book all about getting closer to God the Father on this, the Italian Father's Day for St. Joseph. Pray for us. It's also the fourth anniversary, And if you could still pray for my mom, Rosie. And we talked about this yesterday in the Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell. The fourth anniversary of my mom's passing. I can't believe it's in 4 years. Wow. All righty, then, let's take a look at the weather. National Weather Service is telling us we have periods of snow in the northern Rockies and the Great Lakes, moderate to heavy lake effect snow developing over the eastern Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and then downwind from Lake Erie and Ontario. Snow will develop over parts of the northern Rockies and the northern High Plains into tomorrow. So we're still not out of the woods yet, even though we're getting closer and closer to spring on the calendar and Easter, of course. 5 minutes past the hour. Thank you so much for tuning in to EWTN. You can find us online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net, co-producers of this program. Let's check the news on a busy Tuesday. The U.S. bishops are calling for a nationwide prayer campaign ahead of the U.S. Supreme Court's hearing next week that could affect the availability of the abortion pill. Mifepristone, the court last year, said it will review a fifth Court of Appeals ruling decided in August of 23 that imposed restrictions on the abortion pill based on safety concerns. The Supreme Court's ultimate decision could curtail the shipping of the drug through the mail. Now, according to Catholic News Agency, the hearing is set for March 26. And in a letter this month, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops leaders said they were inviting Catholics to join a focused effort of prayer for the end of abortion and the protection of women and preborn children beginning on the Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th. The bishops adding that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, through its allowance of mailed abortion pills, has enabled a nationwide mail-order abortion industry and turned neighborhood pharmacies into chemical abortion providers. The prayer campaign, by the way, will begin on the anniversary of St. John Paul II's pro-life encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, and will invoke the intercession of St. Joseph under his title of Defender of Life. The bishops write that we ask Catholics to offer a prayer daily from March 25th through June when a decision is expected. The Supreme Court's ultimate decision on that matter, the bishops noted, has a potential to make a major impact in the widespread accessibility of chemical abortions. And they add, while the Supreme Court case is not about ending chemical abortion, it can restore limitations that the FDA has overridden. Nearly 1,000 Americans now have reached out to the State Department for help in Haiti, where gang violence has now plunged the nation there into chaos.
It is not hyperbole to say that this is one of the most dire humanitarian situations in the world.
That State Department principal deputy spokesperson Vedant Patel, the department says people have been filing out in crisis intake forms, or filling out crisis intake forms online as the U.S. tries to get people out on chartered flights. Not all of the folks who filled out a form, though, are trying to leave, but many are, and the government continues to evaluate transportation options. More than 30 Americans were already evacuated Sunday to Miami. Israel Defense Forces say they conducted a raid at a hospital in northern Gaza.
The hospital functioning at a very minimal level at this point, but there are thousands of Palestinian civilians sheltering inside, hoping that being on the hospital grounds would offer them at least some modicum of safety.
That's reporter Raf Sanchez, who explains. A spokesperson said the operation was conducted at the complex after Hamas fighters regrouped there. This comes as ceasefire negotiations continued in Qatar, although there's little hope there'll be a breakthrough during these rounds of talks. And the White House says Joe Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday. The leaders discussed the latest development in the Israel-Hamas war, including efforts to increase aid to Gaza. The call between leaders comes again amid growing tensions between Israeli leadership and the U.S. Just last week, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace and called for new elections in Israel as the civilian death toll in Gaza continued to rise. Biden praising Schumer's remarks as a good speech, while Netanyahu called it totally inappropriate. The Connecticut State Department of Correction is now allowing inmates to hold religious services inside prisons. The department has decided to make the change after complaints that religious rights have been repressed in state prisons and jails. Previous rules did not allow religious services unless an authorized chaplain or volunteer from the same religion is present. The change coming after many inmates complained of not being allowed to practice the religion of their choice. A controversial Texas law that would allow local police to arrest anyone they believe is in the country illegally will remain blocked. Brian Shook has that story.
The U.S. Supreme Court issued a statement Monday afternoon stating that the stay issued earlier will remain in effect pending further order of the court. The statement is signed by Justice Samuel Alito. There has been a back-and-forth court battle. Opponents claim that only the federal government has the right to enforce immigration law. The U.S. Supreme Court was asked to step in.
Senator Ted Cruz is expressing great concern, he says, about reports that an admitted Hezbollah terrorist was apparently caught crossing into his home state of Texas. He used his podcast to place the blame on the Biden border policies.
2022, 98 individuals on the terror watch list were encountered at our southern and northern borders. In fiscal year 2023, that number doubled.
In this case, a 22-year-old Lebanese man telling customs agents that he was headed to New York and planned to make a bomb. It's unclear if any of his story is true. He did use a fake name and birthday in several countries before reaching the border near El Paso. An extremely violent Venezuelan street gang making inroads in America. There is now a push to label the Tren de Aragua as a transnational criminal organization.
Guys are worse than MS-13, and they're getting stronger, and they're expanding. They're going to other cities.
Congressman Tony Gonzalez of San Antonio has signed on to a letter urging President Biden to take action. He says the designation would employ resources to help curb escalating crime linked to illegal immigrants. And the brother of the man accused of murdering Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley has tattoos all over his body linked to the same group. Also this morning, child advocates are cheering a new Texas law which forces adult content websites to verify the age of the users. The largest porn company in the world has responded by blocking access to all Texans, no matter their age.
A lot of these pornography websites sort of serve as a gateway for young men to be engaged in the purchase of human trafficking victims.
That's Bob Sanborn with Children at Risk, who says a current ban will not solve the problem, but he says it is a step toward changing a culture that normalizes the sale of sex. A Canada-based company that's blocking access to all Texans has been fighting the law. They feel it's a free speech violation, but an appeals court dismissed that argument. Primary elections are set for five states today, although both Joe Biden and former President Trump have already passed their respective parties' delegate threshold. Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio all holding elections. Trump visiting Ohio over the weekend while Biden will make stops in Nevada and Arizona. On Monday, Biden released an ad in response to Trump's comment from a rally over the weekend where he predicted a bloodbath for the country if he lost in November. MTA officials are trying to make their case, as Christian Marks explains, that public transit is safe in New York in spite of all the recent violence.
Well, they gathered to mark National Transit Employee Appreciation Day, but it didn't take long before the subject turned to subway safety.
If you're focused strictly on statistics, the subway is a safe place. But when you have high-profile crimes, the riders say, we want to see cops, and that's what we're giving them.
MTA Chair and CEO Jan Oliber responding to a question over how people can alter their perception of fear. He adds crime last week on the subways compared to the same period in 2023 was down 28%.
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito claiming the Biden administration constantly pestered Facebook.
It's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
The high court hearing arguments yesterday on whether the Biden administration's push to remove what they claim was misinformation on social media platforms violated the First Amendment. Conservative Justice Alito said it was an unusual federal officials were repeatedly pressuring the social media sites to take down content, adding he saw a constant pestering of the outlet. Alito saying he highly doubted the government would treat print media the same way. The case focuses on communications from administration officials urging platforms to police information about the legitimacy of the 2020 election as well as a COVID-19 pandemic. Congress needs to pass legislation to avoid a partial government shutdown by the end of the week. Funds are running out at midnight Friday for six annual spending bills. Congressional leaders are hoping to wrap up negotiations soon to the six-measure spending package, but differences remain over how to fund the Department of Homeland Security as lawmakers in the White House are at odds over how to tackle the border and immigration. And with the Miami Beach curfew and restrictions on spring breakers, many revelers are heading north to Florida, as Karen Curtis explains.
We're a place where everyone under the sun is welcomed, and as long as they behave themselves, we're happy to have them here.
Dan Lindblade is the president of the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce, and he says businesses started preparing for spring break long before March.
We sent messages to the universities. All of our hoteliers were briefed on the compression of spring break this year. So when our guests checked in, they knew what the expectations were. There was signage on the beach.
By contrast, Fort Lauderdale police say there's only been about 10 spring break related arrests compared with Miami Beach's 250.
Gas prices are trending up again. AAA reporting the national average price is $3.47. That's up 7 cents from the past week and 19 cents over the past 4 weeks. Increased demand and refinery outages are thought to be the culprits behind the rise. And Michael Kastner tells us as we wrap up a newscast on a Tuesday morning, the Feast of St. Joseph, March 19th, the FBI returning a pair of ruby slippers stolen from a Minnesota museum to their original owner.
Well, he may not be the man behind the curtain, but Michael Shaw is the rightful owner of the famed Wizard of Oz ruby slippers. They were returned to him during a ceremony on February 1st at the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids. The FBI called the event a restoration of justice, though the ceremony was kept secret due to the ongoing investigation into the theft of the shoes. The slippers were stolen from the museum in 2005 and recovered by the FBI in 2018.
You, my pretty.
An elderly man has pleaded guilty to stealing the shoes.
And your little dog, too.
While a second man appeared in federal court last week on charges connected to the theft.
It is 16 minutes past the hour. Surrender, Dorothy. How many remember that scene from the movie, right? When she's in the witch's castle and then she flies out of the window, the witch, and she writes in big black letters, Surrender, Dorothy. I think some of us think about the term surrender and getting closer to God in that way. I know I did for a long time. I was fearful. I was thinking, wow, my goodness, why would I have to do this? It doesn't sound like a lot of fun. That's not my plan. My plan's always better. Well, it's just the opposite. So how do we embrace that? How do we accept that? How do we get closer to God and realize that surrendering to Him is the best thing and the most important thing we can do? Well, we have a great example in St. Joseph today. And we also have some great ideas and some help and support from a wonderful priest who is going to share some of those ways that we can get closer to God in his new publication from Ascension Press. Father Mark Mary Ames is a host of Ascension Presents video series on his Order of Priests, which is a Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And he's executive producer of Brother Isaiah's upcoming music album, Mysteries and Medicines. And he was also the executive producer of another previous album. And he's got a lot of experience in producing all kinds of different media in terms of books and videos and albums, as you just heard. So we'll talk with him about his latest project, so to speak, The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God. It is a Tuesday morning. Happy Feast of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, pray for us. And we're going to go into a little bit more detail toward the end of the program today, all about St. Joseph, with some great instruction and some great insights, not only from Bishop Barron, but also EWTN has some great quotes on their EWTN page dedicated to St. Joseph today. Also, a little bit about St. Teresa of Avila, my saint, and her connection to St. Joseph. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. renew baptismal vows in the cathedral in its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hope you're having a beautiful Feast of St. Joseph today, March 19th. More on that with our guest, Father Mark Mary Ames. And also a little bit later, I'm going to share a video of Bishop Barron's on St. Joseph and some comments from my favorite saint, my patron, St. Teresa of Avila, who had a very, very close relationship with St. Joseph, even naming convents after him because of the intercession of this great saint in her life. Father Mark Mary Ames is joining us. His book, The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God, Director of Communications and the General Almoner of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Father, it's great to have you on the program, and what timing for this book, because I know this book is all about the example of earthly fathers. So being that this is a Feast of St. Joseph, let's talk about why St. Joseph is such a good example of fatherhood. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Teresa, and thanks for having me. I'm going to pull from, you know, there's something we have in the church called the office, like the divine office or the liturgy of the hours, and part of that is the office of readings, and it has a reading today on St. Joseph from St. Bernardine. And part of it is just, it says, he was chosen by the Eternal Father, this is St. Joseph, was chosen by the Eternal Father as the trustworthy guardian and protector of his greatest treasure, namely his divine son, and Mary, Joseph's wife. And there's something beautiful about and moving about St. Joseph, that he was chosen by the Lord for this, like, most sublime of missions. And in a very kind of humble and ordinary way, he was just faithful, he was obedient, he listened, and he was just faithful to the task that God had placed before him, which happened to be being, you know, the foster father of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It really is, if you think about it, an incredible responsibility that he was given, and he could have walked away. I mean, we all have free will, but imagine, you can only imagine, I'm sure you thought about this and meditated upon this as you were putting this in the book, of what his life must have been like versus what he thought it was supposed to be like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right. And, you know, I think we all have surprises in our life and things where it's like, oh, I didn't expect it to look like this. But for St. Joseph to be so intimately involved with the mysteries of our salvation, to be, again, as a Jewish man, to be the foster father of the Messiah, and to have these mysteries of the Immaculate Conception, of the virgin birth happening right before his eyes, and just, I'm sure, like Our Lady, we talk about Our Lady, how she pondered these things in her heart. Surely St. Joseph was doing the same thing, just pondering this mystery, moved by this, by like how he got so involved with it, but still being sort of manly and faithful and courageous before the task before him.
Yeah, beautiful. Talking with Father Mark Mary Ames, his book, The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God, published by our friends at Ascension Press. I was saying, Father, at the top of the hour, introducing our discussion this morning, that if we don't have or didn't have, if our father has already passed on, our physical father has already passed on, if we didn't have, let's say, a good example of fatherhood, that could impact our relationship with God the Father, could it not?
Yeah, absolutely, Teresa. And, you know, the approach of the book is taking, the end of it is to help people understand what it means for God to be Father to them. And if you will, part of the instrument was using stories of biological or spiritual fathers. Generally, the stories used are positive ones that communicate, again, some part of the heart of God to them. And, you know, the reality is that even those of us who have had great fathers at times still have some struggles, and then there's those who had very, very difficult father experiences. And that's actually why I start the book with the story of St. Francis, because people know the story of St. Francis, where he kind of leaves everything behind and says, you know, before the bishop, and says, you know, now I only have my father who's in heaven. But he got to that point because his father was publicly disowning him and cutting him off. And I really believe that part of what drove St. Francis to the radicality of following the gospel was his desire to that Jesus reveals and brings us the relationship with the Father. And so the hope is that through the stories, but also through fleshing out, reflecting on the gospel, to communicate that those desires that we have for a good and loving and faithful Father, we have, in fact, in God the Father.
So we have St. Joseph, we have St. Francis. Before we take a break, we have about a minute left. What are some of the other earthly examples that you provide in the book?
So we have, one of them that comes to mind is just being at the homeless shelter and being with the men. And there's the short version of the story is a sort of a prisoner who came to us out of, you know, he'd just been locked up for 20 years. And we celebrated his birthday, brought out a cake with his name on it, and he broke down crying.
Aww.
Because he'd never had a cake. He'd never had a cake with his own name on it. Right? And so just how foundational it is, but also the fact that through the church we can communicate the fatherhood of God.
Amen. More with Father Mark Mary Ames. What a great book, and you could get it quickly if you order it through Ascension Press or through the EWTN Religious Catalog, and maybe even have it in time for Holy Week. What a great thing. The book is entitled The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God. More with Father Mark Mary when we come back on a Tuesday, speaking of fathers, Feast of the Earthly Father of our Lord, St. Joseph. We'll be right back.
What does the Catholic Catechism mean when it says Jesus teaches us to pray with filial boldness? Filial boldness means praying like the son or daughter that we are. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will, Jesus says. The key is the faith that does not doubt. Jesus was disheartened by his neighbors and his own disciples' lack of faith. He greatly admired the great faith exhibited by the Roman centurion and the Canaanite woman. Of what does the prayer of faith consist? It contains the disposition of the heart to do the will of the Father, a concern for cooperating with the divine plan. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. In addition to conversion and faith, Jesus calls us to watchfulness, attentive to him who is and him who comes, in memory of his first coming in the flesh and in hopefulness of his second coming in glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Conflict is an inevitable part of family life, but how we handle disagreements can make a big difference. When the temperature starts heating up, try pausing long enough to do two things. First, say a quick prayer, either silently or, if you can, out loud with the person that you're having conflict with. Ask God to strengthen you with the help you need to resolve the conflict in a respectful and loving way. Second, take a moment to reframe the disagreement. Instead of viewing it as a battle to be won, think of it as an opportunity to grow and strengthen your relationship. The goal in any conflict isn't to decide who's right or wrong, but to understand each other better and find common ground. To learn more about handling family conflicts gracefully, check out our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on this Feast of St. Joseph. Father Mark Mary Ames actually talks about St. Joseph in his brand new book, The Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God. So, Father, let's talk about, as a priest, how do you advise people to use a book like this? Because you have 30 meditations. I mean, I guess it really is up to the person, how they feel called to use it, because you could do a meditation one a day, you could do two. I mean, it really doesn't matter, but what would you advise? Is there a kind of a practice that you would like people to apply to this particular book?
Yeah, Tristan, and I'll get into it with a bit of an anecdote. I was giving a course to some lay Franciscans on prayer and talking about, really, as Franciscans, we want to live simply, but also pray simply. And so just I was really encouraging them to kind of focus just with the primary, you know, mysteries of our faith, particularly the cross, which was so important to St. Francis. And it was very funny because afterwards there's a Q&A, and it immediately went to like, well, okay, what other saint, what other story, what other this? And there is this human tendency to just like want more and more and more, as opposed to savoring kind of this, the foundational truths. And so the approach I took with this book is 30 meditations. And each one is fairly short and focusing on a particular component of God's fatherhood. And the hope is that this would be something that the reader would use 30 days to do, as opposed to just kind of moving through it really fast. Because again, the hope for me as a communicator, someone who preaches and does media stuff, isn't just to put mm-hmm. more out there, but that it actually communicates grace. And so my hope for this and my logic is just that it would be something that people could really receive and enjoy by working through it slowly.
Yeah, because I like the idea of setting it up as a 30-day retreat, because then sometimes we get into the habit of, okay, we're going through Lent and we're doing all of our exercises and reading extra, you know, reflections and whatnot. Like, for example, I use a Magnificat every day, which I love, and my husband and I also use the Word Among Us, but we do in addition to the readings, we do the daily reflections, right, that they offer, special Lenten reflections. And then you can get out of Lent, and then you kind of maybe fall back. Not that it's bad, you're still doing your readings, but then you don't have anything kind of to follow it up with in the Easter season, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I think right, what we're doing in Lent hopefully is also laying sort of foundations and building habits that then carry over to kind of a deeper, kind of more robust spiritual life as we enter into the Easter season.
What motivated you to write the book now, Father? Why did you think this would be a good resource?
You know, I think it's God's timing. I think, to be honest, I think it's just so important. And there doesn't seem to be a ton speaking of it, right? Very popular recently was Father Calaway's book on St. Joseph, and that kind of brought St. Joseph back to kind of the forefront in a lot of people's minds. And the Father is just so foundational and so important, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of devotional or items or books or resources out there helping us to understand the fatherhood of God. And so in my own life as a disciple and as a Franciscan, but also as a spiritual father and a priest, just the how important this question is and how many people are really asking about it and wrestling with it, it's just kind of become clear. And so it's kind of in response of the movement of grace in my own life, but also in those that I'm walking with.
In terms of your own role as a priest, what led you to the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal? What attracted you to that order?
You know, what attracted me and what kept me are quite different. I had my conversion kind of all into the gospel and learned about the friars for the first time when I was 18. And the first thing I actually learned about the CFRs at In-N-Out Burger out in Southern California. And all I heard is that they're hardcore and they sleep on the ground. And and that was it. You know, to my 18-year-old sensibilities, that was the most all-in way to follow Jesus. And so they kind of had me at that. And so that was kind of what drew me, is the radicality and the totality, also mm-hmm. the fraternal life, the prayer. But kind of what's really kept me, again, is just what's kept me is really the prayer and the fraternity. And I'm surrounded by deeply good men who love the Lord, who are united in His mercy. And yeah, so the novelty and the austerity is what, and the sort of externals is what drew me. But the interior and the fraternity and the charity is what's kept me.
Hmm. Did you have a particular, as a fellow author, I've written many books, and I know you have, and every book is like, you know, different, very special. What was it? What did you have on your heart in terms of the audience when you were praying about this and picturing it in your mind? For whom were you writing this, Father, do you think?
I do think it's, you know, it hopefully is a book for all sons and daughters. Particularly, though, the desired audience is for those who didn't have a good experience with dad or who didn't have their father around. That, again, just to kind of communicate and help facilitate the reality that you do have this good father in God the Father. And to be, my hope is that it is a source of truth, but also of healing for those who carry deep father wounds from their earthly experience.
And the stories, do you have other stories that you share in the book? You mentioned that beautiful story of the homeless man to whom you gave a birthday cake. Are there other stories from your experiences in serving the homeless in New York?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of stories. Some of them are from the homeless. Some of them are from, you know, other neighbors. One of them also just comes from the brothers. I was living in Harlem for a number of years, and we had a woman who would come to the door often and who'd just been beat up by life. And she came, and it was a curious thing because she came asking for wire cutters, and we're kind of like, okay, like, yeah, we have those, but like, what do you need those for? And it turned out that her nails are so unhealthy that she needed like wire cutters to cut them because she, like, normal nail clippers wouldn't work. And so the conversation happened, and she communicated that she never had a manicure or pedicure in her entire life. And so a couple of the brothers got permission, and they took her to get her first manicure and pedicure. And, at the end, she was so delighted with it, and she said to the brothers, you just make me feel like a woman, you know?
Aww.
And I think it was such a beautiful expression of our call to be fathers of the poor and to communicate, like, in reality. It's like, no, you are good and you are worthy of being celebrated and a feeling beautiful. And that's part of our life, and that's part of the beauty of the gospel lived, and also of spiritual fatherhood, pointing to God's fatherhood.
To recognize, it seems like such a small thing to us, but imagine what that meant to her, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the experiences of the homeless, of just like, for no one to call you by your name, for no one to look at you. And then when somebody finally cares and is vested and spends time with you, it's really healing.
Wow. Father, have you gotten a response to the book yet? I know it was recently released in the end of February, but what are people saying about it?
Yeah, the way this works is a number of these stories have been part of the way we kind of preach as Franciscans is really story-based. Kind of with St. John, this is what I've seen, what I've touched, what I've felt, what I've experienced, the real stuff. So a lot of these stories, the book's new, so it's new to readers, but they've been used in my preaching for a while, which is also part of what kind of inspired me to take the step of putting it down in book form. And it is, it's deeply healing, and it's deeply moving, and it's good reminders. It's there's an emotive component to it, but also there's a truth component to it, and a wrestling with some of the harder things of God's fatherhood when he has to teach us and discipline us, etc. And so the feedback has been, exceedingly positive, again, in my own prayer and in communicating this just through written word and through preaching.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this. A beautiful book. Really appreciate it, especially as we talk about the influence of fathers in our lives, talking about the earthly father of Jesus today, of course, on the Feast of St. Joseph. The book is A Father, 30 Meditations to Draw You into the Heart of God. From our set friends at Ascension Press. Check it out. We'll put a link to it at the Catholic Connection Archive. Our guest has been, for the last two segments, Father Mark Mary Ames. More on St. Joseph coming up. We'll be right back.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
Buddhism itself has a lot of different forms. There's no one type of Buddhism. When you get to Buddha himself, he was a complete agnostic and supposed to have been a very wealthy prince who had everything, but found that this was all hollow and empty, especially in the face of death. What he came up with as a basic principle is that the source of all suffering in life is having desires. So you need to free yourself of all desires, and then you won't suffer in this life anymore. This would be very different from Christianity, where we don't want to give up our desire for God. First, we do believe that there is one God. Second, we do believe that it's three persons in one God. And thirdly, that the goal of life is not emptiness, but is union with God and through Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Tuesday morning, a beautiful Tuesday, as we celebrate the Solemnity of St. Joseph, of course, the earthly father of Jesus. And don't forget, we have so many great resources on EWTN. And especially today, there's a whole page dedicated to St. Joseph. We'll give you a little bit more information about that. But I want to share this beautiful, the audio of a video that I found. I was doing some research and prayers, prepping for the show this morning, and of course, thinking all about St. Joseph. And I came across this wonderful video, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, from the wonderful Bishop Robert Barron, who is based in Winona, Minnesota, the bishop there, but also, of course, runs a fantastic ministry of Word on Fire. And the video was very unique in the sense that it was combining the feast days of St. Patrick, which obviously was March 17th, Sunday, and also March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph. And I'd never heard a summary of the two saints back to back. Now, as I mentioned, I don't have time to play the whole video, but it's really beautiful. You can find it. You could just do a Google search for it, you know, Bishop Barron on St. Patrick and St. Joseph. But what's beautiful was that he combined the understanding of surrender and how both of these men of God had to really surrender their plans, their thoughts, their hopes, what they were thinking about their life, of how their life would turn out, you know, the plans they had, again, the goals, and really surrender in faith to God. Because deep down they knew, despite the difficulties and the challenges, that God had a better plan. So we're going to first run the second part of that video where Bishop Barron talks about the beautiful sacrifice of St. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Take a listen.
Joseph, we know so little about him, but that laconically told story in the New Testament, it has been so powerful that it's generated inspiration and meaning now over 20 centuries. Here's Joseph, betrothed to this young woman whom he loves. And he discovers that before they live together, she's pregnant. Now, he's described as a good and decent man, a law-abiding man. But what must his attitude have been? Here's this woman, I love her, I'm going to marry her, but she's pregnant outside of marriage. He was utterly justified by Mosaic law to expose her to a public stoning. Instead, we hear he decided to, you know, divorce her quietly to spare her that fate. But then he hears the voice of the angel who explains to him what's going on. And Joseph decides to take Mary in as his wife. And he becomes the foster father and protector of the Son of God. Now, again, what are we looking at? Someone whose life had taken a kind of calamitous turn. Imagine getting that news and you're Joseph, knowing what you knew at the time. That was calamitous news. But he decided to trust in the higher voice of God that was situating this darkness and confusion within a far greater horizon. As the story goes on, we hear that Joseph, again, listening to an angel, takes the Holy Family into Egypt. Now, it sounds, again, rather bland on the printed page. At that time, though, in that place, to take a young woman and a newly born child and cover hundreds of miles of dangerous road, now live in a place that you know nothing about. So, I mean, we don't know anything about what happened to them, but they go somewhere in Egypt, and I don't know, do they know anyone? Do they have any connections? Joseph listens again as the angel says, return to Nazareth, and he obeys. Look at the last thing we hear about the finding of Jesus in the temple. 12-year-old kid, lost. Now, any parent hearing those words, a lost child, I mean, it fills you with probably the greatest anxiety. Lost for how long? Not a few minutes or hours. 3 days. 3 days gone. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? They probably didn't sleep. They probably didn't eat. They were in the height of anxiety. When they find him, and Mary says, understandably, you know, didn't you know your father and I were looking for you? And Jesus responds, well, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? In every one of these stories of Joseph, you find something calamitous, something dark and difficult and dangerous. But at each turn, he stubbornly saw it in a higher light. Not simply from the standpoint of his own ego, of the ego drama. How will this affect me? How will this affect my plans? But rather, he put all of the struggle and all the suffering in the context of God's ultimate purpose.
And I think it's really important for us to think about that today. We have such great examples in our saints, and we have St. Joseph today. And I pulled up a letter from John Paul II that he wrote that came out in 1989 on St. Joseph. So here are just a few quotes from that, and then we'll talk a little bit about St. Teresa of Avila. Together with Mary, Joseph is the first guardian of this divine mystery. Together with Mary and in relation to Mary, he shares in the final phase of God's self-revelation in Christ, and he does so from the very beginning. Looking at the gospel texts of both Matthew and Luke, and Bishop Barron mentioned this, one can also say Joseph is the first to share in the faith of the Mother of God, and that in doing so, he supports his spouse in the faith of the divine Annunciation. He's also the first to be placed by God on the path of Mary's pilgrimage of faith. It is a path along which, especially at the time of Calvary and Pentecost, Mary will proceed in a perfect way. The path that was Joseph's, his pilgrimage of faith, ended first, that is to say, before Mary stood at the foot of the cross on Golgotha, and before the time after Christ returned to the Father, when she was present in the upper room on Pentecost, the day the church was manifested in the world, having been born in the power of the Spirit of truth. Nevertheless, Joseph's way of faith moved in the same direction. It was totally determined by the same mystery, of which he, together with Mary, had been the first guardian. The incarnation and redemption constitute an organic and indissoluble unity in which the plan of revelation is realized by great devotion to Saint Joseph, directed that Joseph's name be inserted in the Roman canon of the Mass, which is a perpetual memorial of redemption, and the name of Mary and before the apostles, popes, and martyrs. So this is actually a beautiful letter, and if you'd like to do some more reflection on this, I would highly recommend to read this letter from John Paul II that came out in 1989 on the person and mission of St. Joseph in the life of Christ and of the Church. Now, we mentioned some really beautiful resources for you, and this is one of the resources that EW Chan is talking about in their beautiful summary they give us today. If you sign up for our daily e-blasts and our daily notices, it's really easy to learn more about the faith. I mean, obviously you can do that by listening and watching, going online, but it's really, I think, a great help that they direct you to various sources. And then they bring up questions. For example, why do we celebrate the solemnity today of St. Joseph? That's the question right off the top of the email. After the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph is the greatest of the saints. He is the one unto whose custody God entrusted his most precious treasures, Jesus and Mary. The Church honors St. Joseph today, March 19th, for his faithfulness to God and to his vocation as we mentioned in the letter, John Paul II, custodian of the Redeemer. Now, we also have some additional resources for you to grow closer to St. Joseph and be strengthened by his holy example. We suggest to sign up for the Learn How to Pray with St. Joseph ebook from EWTN. How cool is that? It contains a collection of special prayers that you will turn to again and again, including many prayers in honor of the spouse of the Blessed Virgin and the guardian of our Lord. So there's also a few more questions that they address in this e-blast, which you can just sign up for, or you can also go to EWTN.com to find it. Why do we celebrate a solemnity of St. Joseph? What does the Bible say about St. Joseph? What is special about St. Joseph? What does St. Joseph help with? Of what is St. Joseph the patron? Why is St. Joseph known as the sleeping saint? What is Joseph known for? What was Joseph's profession in the Bible? And can you eat meat during Lent on St. Joseph's Day? So this is just a brief summary of what we're offering you in the email from, if you sign up for it again, from EWTN on the solemnity of St. Joseph. Now, I do want to mention my patron saint, St. Teresa of Avila, of course, a doctor of the Church, had a great devotion to St. Joseph. And I found this beautiful article on Catholic Exchange, came out a few years ago, 2021, Why St. Teresa of Avila Cherished the Intercession of St. Joseph. The Church celebrates a feast of Teresa of Avila in October and, of course, a feast of Joseph in March. And St. Teresa had a deep love for St. Joseph, as the article indicates, and she turned to him as her spiritual father throughout her life. And this article actually came out in 2021, the year of St. Joseph. Countless reasons to turn to St. Joseph and countless reasons to agree with the advice of this great doctor of the Church, St. Teresa of Avila. She said, I have taken for my advocate and protector the glorious St. Joseph, to whom I have recommended myself with all the fervor of my heart and by whom I have been visibly aided. This tender father of my soul, this loving protector, hastened to snatch me from the wretched state in which my body languished. as he had delivered me from great dangers of another nature which threatened my honor and my eternal salvation. St. Teresa, as the article from Catholic Exchange indicates, recommends St. Joseph with immense fervor because she knows what an efficacious intercessor St. Joseph is for those of us who are struggling with all sorts of things, including temptations. And in this day and age, if you think about, as the article indicates, all that is thrown at us every single day in terms of the culture, in terms of temptations, it's constant, especially with the media saturation and oversaturation, right? And she also called on him in times of trial and tribulation. Here's another quote. Those who are devoted to prayer should, in a special manner, cherish devotion to St. Joseph. I know not, St. Teresa of Avila says, how anyone can ponder the sufferings, trials, and tribulations the Queen of Angels endured while caring for Jesus in his childhood without at the same time thanking St. Joseph for the services he rendered the Divine Child and his Blessed Mother. And she also called on St. Joseph to help her grow in virtue. Here's another great quote from the great Saint Teresa of Avila. I have never known anyone who was truly devoted to him and honored him by particular services who did not advance greatly in virtue. For he helps in a special way those souls who recommend themselves to him. And she also said, the Lord wants us to understand that just as he was subject to Saint Joseph on earth, for instance, bearing the title of father, being the Lord's tutor, Joseph could give the child command. So in heaven, God does whatever Joseph commands. So, of course, thanks to the great doctor of the church, St. Teresa of Avila, we have more reminders as to why we should ask for the intercession of St. Joseph, especially today on his feast day. And I think it's also a beautiful time to revisit what it means as a Catholic to call on the intercession of the saints. We do not worship the saints. We do not worship our precious Blessed Mother. We ask them to intercede for us. Worship is for God alone. The Blessed Mother is the Queen of all saints, a Queen of angels, and she intercedes for us as our mama, our spiritual mama. And St. Teresa called on the saints and the Blessed Mother often, but also had a special dedication to St. Joseph. And beautifully enough, as we mentioned in the news earlier, and we'll be doing more on this, the bishops are calling on, all of us to call on St. Joseph as we move closer to this discussion coming up in the Supreme Court regarding the abortion pill. There's a beautiful letter that the bishops have written. There's actually a link to it in the Catholic News Agency story at catholicnewsagency.com, where it discusses calling on the defender of life, right? The patron of life, St. Joseph, as we move into this very important court case. Because this court case, as the bishops have indicated, could really determine how this deadly drug is administered. So St. Joseph, on your feast day and every day, pray and intercede for us. 53 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
EWTN has just increased my faith so much. I am a cradle Catholic, and I thought I knew my faith very well. When Mother Angelica passed away and it was so much in the news, I learned all about EWTN and started listening all the time. And my eyes have been opened to my faith so much.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Missed the name of the guest on today's Catholic Connection or his or her book? Log on to AveMariaRadio.net. Click Archive in the upper right corner. Select and search Catholic Connection and explore from there. You can hear past episodes, delve into bios, read related articles, purchase books, and find links to websites, all by clicking on the show notes from each hour. Browse AveMariaRadio.net and bookmark it today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And don't forget, as we mentioned, we have a recipe on the Catholic News Agency website for St. Joseph bread, which is kind of fun if you want to make it with the family today. And they also have within the story that we share with you in the news, they also have a link to the letter from the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, issuing a letter, actually a nationwide invitation to prayer. And this is leading up to the Supreme Court hearing the case on March 26th. Oral arguments in a case that has the potential, as we mentioned, to make a major impact in the widespread accessibility of chemical abortion pills. And chemical abortions, we know, are now the most common form of abortion in the United States. And they are calling on the intercession of St. Joseph to help us with this situation. St. Joseph, defender of life, pray for us. Have a good Tuesday. We'll talk to you on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.